Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to our service today. If this is the first time that you're joining us here on Sunday Online, we'd like to welcome you to our services and invite you to join us each and every Sunday as I bring you a message, a weekly message for those of you who are staying home and want to attend a church. For the past 4 weeks, we've been in a series titled God Is Not Mad at You. First week, we discussed the corrugated Christian life, where we talked about Jesus came into this earth for you to live the supernatural life, to live above your circumstances. And that's one of the amazing things he did. Then we discussed the image that people have of God, where we believe that God is sitting with a stick waiting to whack us over the head when we do something wrong, or to punish us when we do something wrong. And then last week we spoke about reconciliation and righteousness, where Jesus came to reconcile man to God. According to 2 Corinthians 5:18, it says that that God was reconciled man to God through Jesus Christ. And then given us the ministry of reconciliation to reconcile other people through Jesus to God. And this week I just want to talk about a little bit about what Jesus saved us from. And I apologize, I'm not trying to make anyone scared of anything, but I just want us to think and to know and to realize what Jesus Christ saved us from. Jesus is the only way to God, according to John 14:6. There is no other way except Jesus Christ. Many people say there are many ways to God, but there aren't. There's only one way, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's Jesus that said it himself in John 14:6. It's not something I'm saying. It's what Jesus said. I believe it with all my heart. And I hope that you believe that too. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. And there's no other way, no other God, no other name. There's nothing that you could do. You can climb the highest mountain, give your life away. They are all, according to Isaiah 64, verse 6, our righteousness is like, our own righteousness is like filthy rags or dirty clothes before God. So once you understand, there is no other way. We cannot do anything to make God love us more than he already loves us. And there's nothing that we can do to remove our sin except Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you do not accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then your sins are not accounted for. They are not blotted out. Remember last week we spoke and the week before about atonement. Atonement was when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and used the blood of animals and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies on the Ark of the Covenant. The top cover was called the mercy seat, and he sprinkled the blood of goats and animals on that to obtain atonement. And atonement is covering, to cover your sins. And so the Israelite sin was covered for a year. But Jesus Christ did exactly the same thing, but he went into the heavenly tabernacle in Hebrews chapter 9, and he purchased for us with his own blood in the Holy of Holies in heaven, on the Ark of the Covenant, on the mercy seat that is in heaven, and put his own blood on the mercy seat, and therefore not only atoned for our sin for all time, but actually blotted our sin away. It was a one-time event for all eternity. Our sins have been removed and never to be remembered again. And that is amazing. And that's why we praise God. And therefore, if we do not accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice for yourself or for myself, we will forever be separated from God and heaven in a place of punishment and many horrors, a place prepared for Satan, for the devil, and his angels. It was never created for mankind. And as I said last week, you can imagine angelic beings are much bigger and much stronger than us. And this was meant to punish them. And now we are in this place, which was made for the devil and the angels. the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. I spoke about it last week, but I want to read you the whole part. It says, therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through the angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the time first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us through those who heard him? God also bearing witness witness both with signs and wonders in various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Remember last week I read from Psalm 130. It says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? This is exactly the same thing that the writer of Hebrews is saying here. I just want to praise God, you know, that he sent Jesus to save us. You know, in my own life and in your life, you didn't have to be a bad person to be a sinner. You know, any sin that you committed, you can just take the Ten Commandments and just go through them. And I guarantee you that if you be honest with yourself, you have not kept even one of the Ten Commandments, least the 613 other commandments or the 603 other commandments that there are in the Levitical law. You know, I just want to praise God. You know, it's all God. It's nothing about me. And he saved us from judgments to come, and especially the terrible fate that we call hell and the death and the destruction and hell and Hades. And he gave us, instead of death, he gave us eternal life. I actually made a note in my notes and said, he gave us beauty for ashes, but I replaced that by he gave us eternal life instead of separation from God. But he really gave us something beautiful for the ashes of our life. Today I want to explain what Jesus Christ is saving you and me from. And I want to warn you, it's not nice. And it's all biblical. I'm not going to try and add my 6 cents worth. I'm just going to give you the word of God and just expound that word. And why his death blotted our sins away forever and made us spiritually alive in him. So we need to understand why. You know, why you want to have your sins blotted away. When you accepted him as your personal savior, you move from death into life. You move from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive in Christ. And you also, because your sins were blotted out and never to be remembered, you will never receive judgment because sin was totally blotted out, paid for by Jesus Christ. Judgment comes when we do not accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. So what will happen if you do not accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? What will happen when you die? Well, the moment you die, you will appear before God to be judged. This is not the white throne judgment. This is a judgment to determine whether you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior or not. Basically, God knows those who are his. But this judgment will determine where you will spend eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. The Bible clearly tells us what will happen when we die. It says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. When we die, we will all face judgment. At this judgment, a book called the Book of Life, or the Lamb's Book of Life, is open, and a search is made for you to see if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your name is entered in this book, never to be removed. But if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, your name is not in this book. And as I said, at the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So a search is made to see if your name is found in this Lamb's Book of Life, because when you accepted it determines whether you accepted Jesus Christ or not. And when you accepted Jesus Christ and it's found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will then enter heaven. However, if your name is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be sent to hell. Because even though Jesus Christ died for your sins, you never accepted the sacrifice for yourself, and therefore you cannot lay claims to any benefits that he purchased on your behalf at the cross of Calvary. And because of your sin, you cannot enter heaven, because you will be destroyed. So you will be sent to a place called hell, a place of suffering, a place of pain, to wait for the judgment at another time called the Great White Throne Judgment. This judgment will happen at the end of time, after the millennial reign of Christ, where you'll be given a fair trial and a judgment based on all the sins you have committed in your life. It will not be a good lining up against the bad. Everyone who going in this trial will be found guilty. Sadly, everyone is guilty, because only the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away our sins. And because we are guilty, we are sentenced to eternal separation from God in a place called the Lake of Fire. Revelation tells us that the Lake of Fire, that hell, Hades, and the grave are thrown into the Lake of Fire. And this the Bible calls the second death. Jesus Christ spoke more about hell when he was here on earth than any other topic in his earthly ministry, because it was so important for people to understand that every one of us was heading there, because none of us were righteous or good enough to go to heaven on our own, because our sin is the thing that separates us from God. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says this, that it's our iniquities or our sin that separates us from God. And that is why Jesus Christ came into this earth, to live the perfect life and to fulfill every requirement of the law for sin. Because, you know, the Bible says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So if Jesus fulfilled the law, then he removed sin, because sin's the strength of sin was the law. So if the law's been removed or been paid for, then there is no sin. And that's why your sin has been blotted out, because Jesus paid the full price that the law required. And that sting of death, the separation between God and mankind in a place called hell, that sting of sin, which is death, was forever defeated by Jesus Christ. Jesus took all the sin of all mankind. I want you to understand that every single person that has ever lived on this earth, or ever will live on the earth, and is living on this earth at this moment, even the worst person you can think of, Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, whoever, their sins were also placed on Jesus on the cross. And if they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal savior, then they are in heaven. And if they didn't, well, unfortunately, they're not in heaven. And the same with you. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior and you die, you go to heaven. If you don't, I'm sorry to say that you will not be in heaven. You'll be in a place of eternal separation from God. And you and I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Understand this. You've been purchased already with the blood of Jesus Christ. And you, all you have to do is accept him and his sacrifice for yourself, and then you will have eternal life. Then you'll be able to go to heaven, because he has blotted out your sin. But to reject him or not accept him is to ignore him, and is as good as rejecting him or ignoring him. And therefore your sin is not covered, and you will die. You'll be separated from God. Death always means separation. You know, when your loved one dies, you can't just pick up the phone and phone them. You can't type them an email or send them a text message. You can't see them unless you look at like photos and videos, but you can't physically see them and communicate with them, because they're not here. They are dead. They have been separated from you. And in the same way, the second death separates you, or the death separates you from your loved ones. The death also, if you die without Jesus Christ, that your death will separate you from the love and the presence of God in a place called hell. And at the white throne judgment, you'll be eternally separated from the very presence even the domain of God in a place called the lake of fire, and that is called the second death. I do not know about you, but I really want to go to heaven, and I really don't want to go to hell or to the lake of fire. But unless we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, unless we receive His atoning, His sacrifice, His blotting out of our sin for all eternity, we will not be able to stand before an Almighty God. You must understand that. If you try and do it yourself, you will fail every single time. The only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And I want to talk a bit about the White Throne Judgment. And it says, after the judgment on whether we accepted Jesus Christ, you will at the end of the age be given a time to account for your sins before God. And this is called the Great White Throne Judgment, and is at the end of this age. It's after the millennial reign or the thousand-year reign of Christ on this earth. You will then, and everyone else who died outside of Christ, will come and stand before Him at the Great White Throne Judgment and be judged. And I'll read a bit about what Jesus said in Matthew 25. But if you want to go and read it, it's in Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46. And also in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 to 13, where it talks about the White Throne Judgment. This judgment is at the end of the age, after the millennial reign of Christ. And these are those who died without Christ, excuse me, as their Savior, the spiritually dead. They come and stand before the Great White Throne, the throne judgment of God. Their bodies are summoned from the graves and at sea, excuse me, and their souls are called from death and Hades to stand before the judge of all the earth. And I'll read you Matthew 25, verse 41 and 45 to 48. It says, "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" 45. "Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous," those in right standing with Christ or with God, "into eternal life." And Revelation 20, verse 12 to 15 gives us a further account. "And I saw a great white throne, and him," that is Jesus, "that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire." As I close my message today, Jesus' death and resurrection has saved you from this fate and these judgments. This is why Christians call their conversion being saved, because they were saved from these judgments and the eternal effect of their sin through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what Jesus did for you and for me, for all mankind, for every person who was, who is, and whoever will be born. Jesus Christ has already paid the full price for their sin. I've got a grandson that's going to be born in August. Jesus Christ has already paid for his sin. Already. From the day he's born to the day he dies, Jesus Christ has paid a full price for his sin, by dying on the cross of Calvary for our sin. And all we have to do is accept Jesus Christ, accept his sacrifice for ourselves, for our own sin. This means nothing less than you personally submitting your life to Jesus Christ and accepting Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary as a full payment for your sin, atoning, covering sacrifice for your sin, and receive him as your Savior, and you become his child. You know, Angus Buckham said, "Good people do not go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven." The time is short. Jesus is coming soon. None of us know If tonight might be our last night, this might be the last time you hear a message, this might be the last time I preach a message, we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, it might be the last night that we hear this gospel. So I want to invite you, whoever wants to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, to pray this prayer after me. Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sin on the cross of Calvary. I recognize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior. I repent of my sin and I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God and I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that God rose from the dead. God rose Jesus from the dead and he's alive in heaven. Thank you that I'm your child, God. Thank you that you sent Jesus Christ to die for me and my sin, and therefore I am saved. I'm your child. I'm born again. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I really hope that you'll get in contact with me. My email is after this message. I've written a book called The New Believers Booklet, where you better read and understand what you've done and what you need to do, and you know, just answer some questions about how to read your Bible, how to pray, how to confess, how to forgive people. It's a good resource that God challenged me to write for people that have just accepted Jesus, just like you. Let us pray and let's close tonight. Father, we thank you that you came and you died for us. Oh Lord, we'll spend the rest of eternity amazed by what you did for us on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I'm only scratching the surface, but thank you for dying for me. And thank you for dying for my friends watching this program right now. Thank you, Lord, we're eternally grateful that we are saved from our sin and the consequences of our sin and the judgments that will come on sin. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to stand at the great white throne judgment, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that we are born again, that we are your children and that we are going to heaven. I pray your blessing over each and every one of us. Lord, I pray for anyone that hasn't made up their mind that they will pray the sinner's prayer, that they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in their heart that you raised him from the dead according to Romans 10 verse 9 to 13. Lord, your word says that all who call on the name of the Lord are saved. And I just pray for us. Lord, as we go into this week, I pray your blessing, I pray your anointing. Holy Spirit, I pray for a fresh favor and fresh anointing over our lives. And we claim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And in Jesus' name, I pray your healing power over everyone that needs healing, Lord. I pray your restoratory work in every one of us that need restoration. I pray, Lord, that you fulfill and meet our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 4:19. And I pray, Lord, that you'll just bless us, be with us, and protect us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a lovely week, and we see you again next week. Bye-bye.